This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala wa ba'd. All praise due to Allah and His praise and blessings and peace be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companion and his followers until the Day of Judgment. I bear witness that Allah is the only one worthy of worship and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his last and final messenger. There is no doubt, my brothers and sisters, that al-afaf, a concept which is chastity or modesty, is a religious obligation, a social necessity, and moral virtue that must be instilled in the individuals and society alike. It is essential for men and women, young and old, whether single or married. Al-afaf is one of the ultimate goals of Sharia, because it goes hand in hand with a moral society. And one of the goals of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of the goals of this book, Al-Quran, is to establish a moral society. And one of the pillars for any moral society is to avoid indecency, is to value modesty, and to value chastity. Al-afaf is a hard word to actually translate to English with one word. But all these meaning, it also, it combined the concept of, you know, being cautious. Affa in Arabic language, it's like kaffa, the same basically structure, you know, and the same roots and the same meaning, which it means refrain, kaffa. Both sounds and meaning significantly similar to each other's. And it means when you refrain yourself from indecency. Anything that is indecent, you refrain yourself from saying it, doing it, touching it, and speaking about it, looking at it, listening to it. So all this comes under the word that afaf. So it's not only chastity in a sense that a person who will protect his private area and will not commit adultery, but it's way beyond that, to cover and to basically and to guard all your senses, your ear, your eyes, your tongue, your hand, even your heart and mind and thoughts from being involved in any indecent sexual thoughts or actions at all. And the Quran spoke about this concept in many different ways. Sometimes by giving us an examples of an exemplary people represent and symbolic for afaf, like Yusuf alayhi salam, like Maryam alayhi salam, and many other stories, like the daughters of Shu'aib and how modest they were and shy, and they were an exemplary in this area, and many examples like this. But one surah stands out when we talk about this concept, which is Surah An-Nur. Surah An-Nur, it is a surah that came to establish this concept from the beginning to the end. And the whole surah focuses on this area, how to build a fortress, walls that will protect you from any form of indecency. Many legislations, many verses encourage, forbade, and prohibit us from certain actions, encourage us to do certain set of actions to establish modesty. And in this talk, I will cover all these areas. And I really appreciate talking about this topic today to you. And I commend the organizer of this conference for talking about such an important topic that the world needs today. The morality of the world today is just in declining, unfortunately. You know, no matter where you go, no matter where you land, unfortunately, somehow the shaitan was able to bring indecency even to your hand, to your home, in a way that it became so hard to protect yourself anymore. Today, it is so easy to fall into haram. Much harder to do the halal than to do the haram. Anybody, even it's in your hand, in your phone, or something that, you know, the haram and immorality and indecency became something so accessible today. For instance, if you look to some statistics, it shocks you. For instance, according to estimates, the global sex industry is massive, with around 40 to 42 million sex workers worldwide. That's what is legislated. That's what you have a number of, like people register as prostitute. Over 40 million workers, an estimated annual revenue of over 100 billion with B dollars, making it one of the largest underground economic globally. Today, you look at certain things, you'll be surprised. There are an estimate of 25 million, I'll say this again, 25 million pornographic websites worldwide, which is about 12% of all websites in the world. One pornographic website for global use as its average around 5.5 billion, billion with B, visitors every month. Just one website. That's just crazy. 5.5 billion people visited every month or click on it. Not necessarily, maybe the same person again and again. But that's how many hits and how many visits. Pornography is a big, huge problem online, and consume, as I said, 12% of all websites in the internet world. The sexual content, you know, even in conservative country like your beautiful country, alhamdulillah, it's illegal to have access to pornography, to pornographic website. It's illegal to establish one. It's actually, there is a penal code in your law here in Malaysia will punish someone if they found in his phone or her phone a pornographic material. But it is much, much bigger than any government can control. In the old days, there is a king, an Umayyad king. His son was a little bit, his aql, يعني his mind was not very good. You know, so his son had a bird. And you know, he's a sultan, he's a prince, he's a powerful man. So his bird flew away. And he became so angry, and he told the guards, lock all the doors of the city, all the gates of the city. You lock the gates, but the whole entire sky is open. You know, and that's why it is very unrealistic to expect that, you know, a government would be able to forbid or to control that at all. For instance, you know, the Malaysian Commissions and Multimedia Commission, MCMC, were able to block maybe 2,500 pornographic websites in Malaysia, shut down. But we talk about here millions and millions and millions of them, no matter what you try. And unfortunately, there is, because it's illegal, there is no real statistics or reliable source to conduct, you know, a statistic about how many people visit. But I come across some of the website or some studies have made, you know, an estimate of how many people, you know, visit websites or pornographic websites in Malaysia. And it is unfortunately very similar to what I have seen in Muslim world and non-Muslim world alike. Maybe in non-Muslim world, sometimes it goes a little bit higher. But you're talking about, and the estimate that was seen here, basically 3 to 4 out of every 10 Malaysians have been found prescribing or viewing a pornographically weekly. And that percentage goes higher among teens and among early age. And the more we have access to internet, the more we have access to cell phones, the more we have access to this technology, unfortunately, there is always a way to go around the rule. You know, in 2024, last year, the UNICEF have mentioned there is over 370 million women today, which is one of every 8 women around the world. One of every 8 women around the world. They were either raped or sexually molested before the age of 18. One of every 8. That's just crazy. And he said that even the expecting to be higher as the year comes to reach 650 million women, female. That's one of every five females. Why is that? It is because, you know, the sexual lust is like a fire. People say, oh, you Muslims cover your woman, forbid this, forbid that. That's why your sexual drive is very high. As if the other urban liberal society in the West, they don't have a problem. As if they don't have, you know, a cases, high rate of rape, high rate of, you know, woman sexual harassment to men and women and boys and yeah, and men and all kind of filth you can think of. It's way more than the Muslim countries. For sure. But, and that's reality, that's fact. I'm not just making it up. Why? Because the sexual lust is like a fire. The fire, when you add more fire to it, it became what? Bigger. That's why Al-Ghazali, Abu Hamid, mentioned something very true. He said, if a man would fornicate with all the women of Baghdad, and he finished, you think he will say, khalas, I'm satisfied? No, he will say, what about the woman of Damascus? He will move on. That's why it will never end. That's why when you see today, all what you see today in the world, with all these weird things when it comes to fulfilling the sexual desire, it is out of what? You know what? They did everything with the woman. Now they look at another, you know, other than the woman. Then other than the woman, another third and fourth and fifth and fifth. And you will hear all this because it's like a fire. It just keep growing and growing and growing. And all the elites want something new and different. And who pays for that? The society at large. Unfortunately, one of every 11 child in the world, worldwide, have been exposed to some sexual harassment. That's just crazy. That's why Islam came to build a moral society to protect our modesty, to protect our afaf, to protect our honor, to protect us from falling into haram, from falling into the shaitan's biggest trap, because he knows that sexual lust is something exists in the heart and in the nature of human being. My brothers and sisters, chastity is achieved by avoiding immoral acts, their causes, what lead to it, and by adhering to what protects individual, fulfills their sexual desire in a lawful way, and help them control their urge through virtuous conduct and halal conduct. One of the greatest source of nurturing chastity and virtue is the Quran, and specifically Surah An-Nur. That's why Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah said, the great Maliki scholar said in his tafsir, he said, this surah, hiya suratul afaf wa sitr. This is the surah of modesty. This is the surah of chastity. Surah An-Nur is the 24th surah in the Mus'haf, 64 verses, and it is Madaniyah by the consensus of the scholar of the Quran. It was revealed around the fifth year of Hijrah, but some of these verses in Surah An-Nur was revealed actually in the beginning of the Hijrah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the first or second year max in Hijrah al-Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And let's see how important this surah is. Number one, it's called Surah An-Nur. I want you to remember that. What's called? Surah An-Nur. An-Nur is the only name for it. Usually surahs have multiple names, but this one has only one name known, which is Surah An-Nur. That's the only one we have evidence for it. And some scholars said, if you would call it the surah of the family, it will be also great. Abu Zahra, the famous sheikh in Egypt, said that, rahimahullah. Why it is so important to focus on the name of the surah? Because An-Nur, chastity is light and clarity, while immorality dwells in darkness, casting shadows over the hearts and shadow and darkness in the heart, then darkness in the grave, then darkness in the day of judgment, and lead to the greatest darkness ever, being in the hellfire. May Allah protect all of us. While light embodies transparency, security, light bring happiness, light remove darkness. How you remove darkness? By bringing light into the room. Darkness cannot coexist with light. That's why the people of Lut told Lut, get out of our city, because you are among those who try to purify themselves. If you stay, that light will never be coexist with the darkness of the immorality. As light dispels darknesses. And Nur, the light reveals what is visible and unveils beings. Without it, we would not be able to see anything. And that's why Surah An-Nur shows us the way to protect our chastity, show us the way to make a moral society. The teaching and the guidance within this surah assist Muslims in their life, especially concerning this area of modesty and chastity. Light is beloved to every soul. It is life and hope versus darkness. It is Surah An-Nur. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and subhanAllah, if you want to know also one of the virtue of the surah and the importance of it, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have told us that those who Allah will not give them light, they will be in darknesses. And the dark and the light comes from Allah and comes in the surah as if He's telling us this. Look how this surah starts. It starts in a way that no other surah in the Quran starts this way. It starts this surah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Suratun anzalnaha wa faradunaha wa anzalna fiha ayatin bayinat. Wa anzalna fiha ayatin bayinatin la'allakum tadakkaroon. Allah said, this is a surah. I have a question for you. Isn't every surah in the Quran is a surah? يعني الفاتحة surah, البقرة surah, النمل surah. So why this one in particular? Allah said, it is a surah. Do you know what surah means? The term surah in Arabic language means, or linguistically means, refers to an elevated structure or a high permanent position. In this context of the Quran, the surah is a chapter that stand distinct from others. So Surah An-Nur stand in a very high, in a very special place, distinct from the rest of the surahs in the Quran. Why? Because it focuses on this subject from the beginning to the end. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yani, there is different qira'ah suratun, there is another qira'ah suratan, which it means here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ta'allamu hadhihi surah. يعني learn the surah. The different qira'ah means learn the surah and adhere to the surah, reflect upon the surah, practice the surah. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, anzalnaha, we have sent it down, this surah. But every surah is sent down. Why Allah specifically mentioned this? All the surah are revealed by Allah and made obligatory. However, the specification here, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifies, mention in Surah An-Nur that it was sent down by Allah, serves to emphasize the unique importance and to highlight its greater virtue. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these two, you know, given facts. They are from Allah, it is from Allah, and it is a surah. But Allah mentioned specifically here to tell you how important this surah is. Because of this, al-ulama rahimahullah have put this surah in a great deal of respect. Subhanallah. Umar radiallahu anh said, Mujahid radiallahu anh rahimahullah said, teach your men Surah Al-Ma'idah and teach your women Surah An-Nur. And Umar radiallahu anh wrote to the people of Al-Kufa in Iraq, teach your woman Surah An-Nur. And another narration, Umar said, make sure that you learn, especially women, Surah An-Nur, Wal-Ahzab, Wal-Nisa, these three surahs. And al-ulama used to put a very specific time for it. For instance, in Hajj, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anh chose this surah to be taught in Hajj for the whole entire Muslims. To the extent Abi Wa'il said, Wallahi, if this tafsir of Surah An-Nur heard by the people in Turk, at that time Turkey and that part of the world is not Muslim yet. He said, if they heard it, they will be all of them converted to Islam because of the legislations and the purity that this surah brings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنزَلْنَا فِيهَا آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ. And Allah said, and we have sent down therein clear verses. Clear verses. That's why this surah have nothing ambiguous. All its legislation are muhkam. No mutashabah. The ulama have no different opinions about the rules in relation to this surahs. Except sometimes they differ over the methods, but not the goal. Not the main issues in this surahs. And in this surah, see, seven times Allah repeat in Surah An-Nur that this verse is clear. This verse is detailed. This verse is so clear and the evidence in it is so clear. 7 times. So no excuse for us not to know how to stay moral or trusted. وَأَنزَلْنَا فِيهَا آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ. Number one. Then he said in 34, أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ آيَاتٍ مُبَيِّنَاتٍ. Then he said, وَلَقَدْ أَزَلْنَا آيَاتٍ مُبَيِّنَاتٍ in 46, in 55, in 58, in 59, in 61. 7 times. Just because of the time, I'm just going to give you the reference. And after all this, we are seeking our morality and guidance and morality from somewhere else. We're looking to learn about the opposite gender and how to deal with each other from somewhere else. After all this clarifications, I can classify the things that came in this surah in regard to modesty into 2 categories, 2 big buckets. Number one, things that you're not allowed to do. And number two, things, your set of things you're supposed to do. So let's go quickly over these two. For the thing that is came in this surah, telling us it's forbidden for you to do. The first section focus on how to build, or this part focus on how to build chastity and protect a Muslim from immorality. It's based on a set of a number of prohibitions and forbidden action that Muslim must avoid. Number one, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَمَنْ يَتَّبِعْ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. O you who have believed, do not follow the footsteps of the shaitan. And whoever follows the footsteps of the shaitan, indeed he enjoys immorality and wrongdoing. That's what the shaitan called people for. Immorality. And if you follow his footsteps, you will end up in that area. Avoiding following the footsteps of the shaitan is emphasized, highlighting that this is a graduate process. Social moral decline often over the course of decades and years. Don't think the immorality that we see in the world today is the result of a work of a year or two. No. Don't think the change that we see in our children just in one generation. It's over generations. It's building up. And that's why the Quran was so beautifully said, don't follow the footsteps. Footsteps, that metaphor, that expression is so beautiful. Why? The use of the term footsteps indicates that it's not one single step. Sometimes she does it, just do this. Sister, just show a little bit of your hair and it will be okay. You know, just a little bit of makeup. Just a little bit of this. Just a little bit of shorter, you know. So what, yani, if a little bit of part of your hand. And go one piece after another, one, you know, the brother, just one look, just check it out. Shaitan, the Prophet said, the first look for you and the second is against you. So let me check this website, the first look only, you know? First look, second look, third look, you know? And, you know, you get to see us flirt with a woman. Hey, hi, assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. What's your name? What's your name? This, then smiled and let's go have a dinner, let's have some coffee and tea, let's have bubble tea, let's have some yogurt, let's have, you know, then we date, then we love each other, then all the lovey-dovey stuff start on, and you find yourself very far. I've seen people came to me crying, saying, Sheikh, look what I have done. I said, don't show me. He said, no, I'm not showing it for you to know about me. I repent, but I want you to use this in your lectures. Because the shaitan got me. I got to know a sister. We used to call each other. I used to call her in the night to tell her before she goes to sleep, hey, don't forget to say the adhkar of the sleep. Oh, so sweet. But she's not your sister. She's not your wife. Are you asleep? Not yet. I'm still doing my adhkar. Oh, you're taking your time, mashallah. You know, you're like, you make reflection, your adhkar. I say it very fast. No, you should reflect. Then 2-3 weeks later, I dreamt about you. Oh, I dream about you too. You know, we should get married, but no, we cannot get married. And I see after that, he showed me how things start over a year and a half. After a year and a half, all the text message between them were all in explicit sexual nature. Both are religious. One step. So don't think the shaitan will stop at one thing. You know, shaitan will not stop at one thing. It's one thing lead to another. Another lead to a third and fourth. So that's so beautiful. Also, the use of the term footsteps implies that the shaitan is patient and willing to take his time. It also suggests that these steps may be small and doesn't look much. It's not a big deal. But with their impact going unnoticed, just a journey of a thousand mile starts with one step, with one single step. Shaitan does not leave a person alone. He dragged them from one sin to another, from one wrongdoing to next, until he leads them to the hellfire with him. يَدْعُوا حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. He calling his followers to go to hellfire with him. And if we look at so many examples in our society today, for example, do you guys know in the 1930s, I'll just talk about America, since I live there, and it's one of the most liberal society in the world. In America, in 1930, not 1800, not 17th century, no, 1930 only. It is not unlawful for actors to kiss another actor on the screen. In any movie, not allowed to kiss, not allowed to hug in a sexual way. They're very restricted. And it remained like this until the end of 1960s or 1970s. It changed completely. The line dropped completely. To the extent today, we see, you know, In a regular website, TV, they will show you what they call it today, soft pornography. So many of these movies or series have what we call today soft pornography. And see how the shaitan make it sound so like soft pornography. It's not a big deal. You know, for example, the use of the F word is not allowed. Or any strong profanity is not allowed in movies all the way until 1960s. But after the sexual revolutions in America in the 60s and the 70s, things change. And gradually start changing that to the extent in one movie, which is 180 minutes movie, that one actor have used the F word 506 times. You know what that means? It means that he have used the F word 3 times every minute during this movie. What do you think if somebody hear this word all the time, 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 all the time? Your tongue will be so used to it. Sorry to give this explicit example, but it's interesting. Actually, there's a whole documentary was made about that. The introductions of, the introducing of, you know, the bathing suit known as the bikinis was something very, very red line. Many beaches, swimming pools in America will kick the woman out. She's not allowed to jump into the or to come to the swimming pool like that. It's absolutely not. And many women said, shame, shame on you to wear this. You know, bikini is named after a bikini atoll, which is the land. It's a French person who invented that. And he invented that and he named it that way. The bikini atoll is a place where they have the experiment of nuclear bomb. And he was expecting this to have the nuclear reaction in society because he knows society will not accept that. But guess what? By the 70s, it was okay. And you will have new beaches in some places in the world. It's so sad. So don't follow the footsteps of Shaitan. Number two, this surah says, "Az-zina is haram." Adultery and fornication is a major sin in Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is the most merciful. This religion is the most merciful. Yet Allah says in this surah, when it comes to zina, when it comes to adultery, when you punish the adulterer, have no mercy in your heart. Have no pity on them. وَلَا تَأْخُذُكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. Do not have. وَلَا تَأْخُذُكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Do not have pity for them if you believe in Allah on the Day of Judgment. Ajib, the religion of mercy. See, no mercy here, yes. That's why Qatada said, rahimahullah ta'ala, and Zuhri, in the early generation, they used to, when they lash and they hit the person who drink alcohol, they will do it very lightly. But if it's adultery, they will do it very harshly. So they will not go back to it. Allah said, وَلَا تُكْرِهُ فَتَيَاتِكُمْ عَلَى الْبِغَاءِ. Do not compel your slave girls to prostitutions in the surah as well. So this was mentioned twice in the verses in the surah. And we know az-zina is forbidden in many surah. And the most important one to keep in mind always what Allah said in Surah Al-Isra. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Don't come close to the zina. Don't come near the zina. He didn't say don't do it. Don't come near to it. Adultery is such a huge sin. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said it is the worst sin after killing. Yani the sin in Islam, shirk, killing, adultery. That's the worst sin in Islam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yazni zani hina yazni wa huwa mu'min. When a person commit adultery, not in a state of iman, their iman is so weak. Or in some narration, the iman depart and come back after the person finish and repent to Allah. In Sunan Abi Dawud wa Tirmidhi. Also Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi Sahih al-Bukhari said that he have seen men and women naked in a container and fire burning them from underneath of them. He said to Jibreel, who are they? He said, these are the adulterer. That's their punishment in their grave. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he took the legion from his companion, he said, give me a promise that you will never commit adultery. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when he was asked, what is the greatest sin in Islam? He said, to pray to other than Allah, and he's the one who created you. He was asked, what's next? He said, to kill your son because you fear of poverty or a child. What's next? He said, to commit adultery with your neighbor's wife. Al-Mundhiri rahimahullah said, it was narrated in a hadith, which is authentic. Al-Mundhiri is a famous Shafi'i scholar. He said it was narrated in an authentic hadith that the person who addicted to alcohol like a worshiper of an idol. And we know that adultery is worse than alcohol. So can you imagine how bad this person is? of the punishment of someone who addicted alcohol, that like the punishment of somebody who worship an idol. What do you think the punishment of the adulterer will be? Another thing this surah said, do not spread immorality. Don't spread it. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةِ Those who love like the immorality to be spread in the society, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ We have for them a painful punishment in the world and in the hereafter. So punishment in this dunya and in the akhirah. How the spread indecency and morality in society? Through actions, through words, all these websites, you know, boosting online about the haram that you do, saying it out loud, spreading the news of haram. All these things, you know, celebrating the haram openly, you know, seducing people, changing people's mind to accept immorality. All these are a part of it. That's why you see those who make it public. And, you know, it has a great impact in changing society. How our children have been impacted by what they watch in TV and they watch in social media and so on. Also, another person, if the person commit sin openly. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, all my ummah will be forgiven for their sin, except those who make it open. Don't care. Also, number four, the surah told us not allowed. One of the things of spreading immorality, accusing people. That number four, it is forbidden to accuse someone with adultery. So people will not take this lightly. And maybe, and when if you say, oh, this is adultery, this commit adultery, this is this and this. When you spread this news, people don't trust one another. People get used to it. Instead of it's something isolated, it became something that if it's acceptable in the society. That's why you're not allowed to accuse someone without certain condition, very strict condition. Four witnesses, they seen the act itself. And Allah told us their punishment in the dunya to be lashed 80 times. And they will be fusaq, and they will not be accepted to give shahada afterwards until they repent. And in the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ They curse in the dunya and in the akhirah. And the story of al-ifk goes in Surah An-Nur to talk about this subject as well. Number five, the Sharia said, this surah came to tell us we're not allowed to expose our awrah. We have to cover our awrah and haram to show your awrah. And the awrah for men and women. And I will not go in details. I just want to show you how the surah built that fortress. Okay, and there's many verses talking about that. And not only that, it even put some rules and regulation to protect this awrah from being exposed to the closest one to you, which is your own children. In Surah An-Nur 27, Allah told us, you're not allowed to enter houses without permission. Why? So you don't see the awrah. There is awrah for ma wara al-thiyab wa ma wara al-abwab. There is awrah, what is beyond the thobe that you wear and beyond the door. Yani there is awrah for the people inside the house. You're not allowed to look, so you're not allowed just to walk in. And also, the awrah of al-thiyab came in the other verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the same surah, verse 58, about how children must take permission before they enter to their family, even little kids, three times before dawn prayer and when put aside your clothing for rest at noon and after night prayer. Number six, this surah told us we not allowed for women to boost their beauty. يتبرجن, and you're not allowed to show their beauty, to beautify in order for them to get the attention of males or attention of people. And basically, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ يَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ You're not allowed to show their beauty in public and all the rules that comes with it. Also, the surah talk about not only showing the beauty of the body, but the beauty of things that can attack, can get people attention to the extent. It's amazing that Allah speaks because of the sound of an anklet on a woman's ankle. Allah revealed verse about the anklet that you wear. Why? Because He cares so much about modesty. Because He cares so much about you to be protected. That's why He revealed the whole entire verse about this. Also, talking about, the verse talk about, you're not allowed, all this part of the seduction by showing your beauty, by showing words, by making the ear listen to things that get people's imaginations, or by voice. فَلَا يَخْضَعَ فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ. Don't speak softly and seductively. You know, like, mashallah, I know sometimes when I see somebody answer the phone, yes, how can I help you? I know he's talking to a brother. But when he said, oh yes, what can I do for you? And now you're talking to sister, that's right. How do you know? I said, I know. it's written all over your voice. And you know, in the sunnah also, women allowed to perfume public. All this to protect. But by the way, also for men, not allowed to show their awrah in public. Not allowed to make any seduction stokes. Not allowed to flirt. And all these things also rules and regulations related to men. Let me end with the second part, which is thing that the surah came to establish certain set of orders. Number one, to fear Allah and to always know that He is overwatching you. That's why Allah's name, Al-Alim, was mentioned 10 times in the Quran. 10 times, just the name. And Al-Ilm was mentioned so many times to make us aware that Allah knows everything, knows what you do, knows what's in your heart, in your mind, what you say. Why did you say it? Why did you do that? You know, and that's important for you to keep in mind. You know, also, many of these verses talking about the punishment. In many verses, 11, 14, 19, 23, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Painful punishment in the dunya and the akhirah. لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Curse in the dunya and the akhirah. لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. A great punishment for them. But in the other hand, many verses talking about rewards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't you want Allah to forgive you? Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. أُولَٰئِكَ مُبَرَّؤُونَ مِمَّا يَقُولُونَ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. In 26, 33, 52, 56, 54. You know, all these verses talking about how Allah merciful and rewarding He is. And sometimes another third category of verses talk about just to know that one day you will be standing before Allah and you will meet your record of your deeds. فَيَوْمَئِذٍ يُوَفِّيهِمُ اللَّهُ دِينَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. And that day Allah will pay them in full their true recompenses. Whatever you have done, you will meet. وَوَجَدَ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ فَوَفَّاهُ حِسَابَهُ وَاللَّهُ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. And He will pay him in full his due. And Allah is the swift in account, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, the second thing this surah told us to do is marry. Some verses talk about the importance of marriage. وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. And marry who? الطَّيِّبُونَ لِلطَّيِّبَاتِ. The good men for good women, according to some of the mufassirin. So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, don't worry. إِيَّكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. If they are poor, Allah will bestow them with His wealth. That's why Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu arda said, obey Allah in what He has commanded you regarding marriage. He will fulfill you what He has promised of wealth, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same was mentioned by Ibn Abbas, Ibn Mas'ud and others. You know, also, the verse said, if you cannot marry, have afaf, trust and protect yourself. And one of the best ways, as the Prophet ﷺ said, through fasting. Also, a third point came in regard to the set of things that you've been asked to do, is to repent to Allah anytime you commit a sin. You see something haram, you hear something haram, you do something haram, you say something haram, you've done something haram, you repent. No matter how bad the sin is, the gate of tawbah is open. Nothing more than someone accuse the Prophet ﷺ with wife, with zina, and hurt the Prophet ﷺ, then that person, Allah ordered them to repent and open the door for repentance. Not only that, after they repent, Allah ordered us to be good to them, order the Sahaba to be good to them. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَأَصْلَحُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ وَيَعِذُكُمُ اللَّهُ أَنْ تَعُودُوا لِمِثْلِهِ أَبَدًا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Yani, Surah 5, verse 5, 17, 33, 62. Also, number four, the surah speaks in a very beautiful way, in a subtle way, about the importance of company, to be in a good company. That will help you to stay moral, to stay trusted, to stay protected. Where Allah talk about in houses, in homes that He give a permission to be built, so He will be mentioned in it. In it, men that be not distracted by commerce or sell. Those are the people that you want to hang around. Those are the people who will help you to stay trusted. Also, number five, which is one of the most important when I kept it in the end, Allah ordered us in Surah An-Nur to lower our gaze and to protect our gaze from not looking. And He made that order to men, then repeated again to women. And He said, protect your gaze and your private part. Shawkani said, he start with the gaze before the private part, because the gaze lead to that, lead to the big haram and to the big sin. And remember something Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, Allah ordered us to lower our gaze, not to look at mahallu al-awra wa mahallu al-shahwa. The awra, you're not allowed to look at the awra, even if there is no desire. Yani, if a woman now show her elbow, okay, three hairs, but there's no desire in this. But you're not allowed to look at it because it's awra. Even if it's disgusting, some part of your awra, you know, you're not allowed to look. And also you're not allowed to look to anything that brings shahwa, desire, even if it's covered. If you feel desire, you should not look. Even if the woman is covered, even if the man is covered, you're not allowed to look, to lower your gaze. And also to lower your gaze, not to look at what's inside the homes, to lower our gaze from looking at what does not belong to you as well. And there is a hadith, there's debate over the authenticity of it. Whoever lower his gaze, whoever allowed his gaze to go around and see, he will be hit with an arrow, poison arrow from the shaitan. And Imam al-Jawzi rahimahullah said, so understand my brother, what I advise you with, your eyesight is a blessing from Allah upon you. So do not disobey Him with His blessings. Treat it by lowering it from what is forbidden, and you will gain reward. Be aware, lest the punishment be the removal of the blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the end, O Allah, the light of the heavens and earth, make Surah An-Nur proof for us, not against us. Make this surah intercede for us on the Day of Judgment, a guidance and a light for us in this life, in our grave, and in the day we will meet you, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us from what we heard and what we said. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.